All right, Ephesians chapter number 5. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read verses 1 through 7, and then we'll see what God wants us to know regarding this passage. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And then lastly, this in verse number 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now, this has a similar sound to the previous lesson that we studied in chapter number 4 and verse number 17, where Paul talks about us as believers not walking as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And some of those things are similar, but they're not the same. And so tonight, what we want to do is we want to look at these things here. And the purpose for us is to understand how God wants us to walk as a Christian believer. And that's really the objective. The objective is to learn what's in the Bible, apply it in our lives, and then walk with that knowledge that we have and apply it in our own lives. Okay? And so we read here one of the greatest challenges for the believer, and really one of the greatest expectations of God. This is something that God has not given us a suggestion. This is what I hope you do. Hopefully you do this, or if you do it, good. If you don't do it, okay. That's not the case. It's an expectation of God. When he says, this is the way I want you to walk, and this is what I want you to do, and these are the things I don't want you to do, and these are the things that I want you to stay from, then we ought to do those things. It's for the best. God doesn't put those restrictions in our lives to put us in a straitjacket, and so that it feels like, well, as a believer, I can't do anything. No, instead, the opposite is true. He does that so that he can keep us from those things that are bad. All right, so this is one of the greatest patterns for the believer, understanding of what God wants us to do and us as the believer following God. And this is something that we do every day as the believer. From the time that we wake up to the time that we go to bed, we ought to walk like God wants us to walk. All right, so let's start here in verse number 1. Notice, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The first thing, the believer, you and I, the Christian believer, is to follow God by being a follower of God. You said you're saying the same thing. Now think about it. There's two types of believers. There's a believer that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. It's by faith plus nothing else. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything for it. Christ already did everything. It's a free gift. All right? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. Now, here's the difference. There's some people that get saved and don't do anything regarding their Christian walk. Well, what's the point? Well, the point is that God wants us to grow spiritually. And he wants us to follow him. He doesn't want us to just get saved and say, okay, now that I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and now I'm waiting until he comes back or until I die, and then that's it. What's the purpose in that? There's no joy and fellowship with Christ in that. Instead, what he wants is for us to follow him. So what we want is, if you've already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, good. Now we should follow him. Notice verse number one, be ye therefore what? Followers of God. All right, so a person that's saved and is following God is a person that is completely surrendered to God. Well, what does it mean to be surrendered to God? This is a person that is yielded to God, that is given up to God, that is delivered to the power of God. As you're yielding yourself, listen, all of us are yielding ourselves to something. We're either yielding ourselves to sin or we're yielding ourselves unto God. We're yielding ourselves to the world or we're yielding ourselves to Christ. And in order for us to follow, if we're going to be followers, like it says there in verse number one, then we need to be fully surrendered. What does that mean? If God says go, then we go. If God says jump, we say, how high? If God says, I want you to do this, then we do it. We know that anything aside from what God wants that we don't do is disobedience. Even late obedience is disobedience. And we don't want that. We want to follow God when he says it, the way he says it for us to do. And that would be somebody that's completely surrendered to him. I want to give you an example. Keep your place here and go to Daniel chapter number 3. You know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you remember that King Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fiery furnace. And why was that? Well, Nebuchadnezzar made an image, and he said, at the time when you hear the hornet, you're going to bow down to this image. That's what I want you to do. And, well, there was three people that said, we're not going to do that. And that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I want you to notice here the specific wording in Daniel chapter number 3 and look at verse number 28. Nebuchadnezzar throws him into the fiery furnace. They heat the oven 10 times more than what it's supposed to be. And then Nebuchadnezzar goes and peeks in there and he sees, whoa, wait a minute. Not only are the three people there, but there's somebody else there. There's God in there. And then this is what happens, verse number 28, Daniel chapter number 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word. Notice this. And yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. You see, we're all yielded to something. In this case, Nebuchadnezzar recognized they're not yielded to other gods. They are yielded to their God. And if we're going to follow God, going back to Ephesians, if we're going to follow God, like it says there in verse number one, we need to be fully surrendered to him, to be fully yielded to whatever God wants. Not only to be fully surrendered, but to be fully committed. Fully committed. Well, what does it mean to be committed to God? Well, there's so many Christians that, again, they get saved, but they're not committed. To be committed means you're all in. Whatever God wants, that's what I'll do. And unfortunately, there's some Christians that are one foot in and one foot out. And if the football game is on, I'll go to the football game. I'll watch the football game. And if this is going on, I'll do that. And if this, and it seems like God seems to be an addition or an afterthought to our lives instead of being the center of our lives, where everything revolves around God. That's what it means to be committed. The Bible says this You don't have to turn there, but in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10, Paul said this, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Well, what was the issue there? Demas wasn't fully committed. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened. The Bible doesn't tell us what other circumstances arose in the life of Demas. It just says that something happened and Demas forsook the work that Paul was doing, that God was doing. Why? Notice, because he loved this present world. And that's the problem with commitment today with the believer. That, well, the believer is committed unto God unless there's nothing else that I love in the world that I could be doing. We all wrestle with that. All of us, each and every one of us wrestle with, am I going to go to church? Am I going to go to this Bible study? Or am I going to do something else? I know that it's already difficult to do it on a Tuesday at 7 p.m., but yet you're here. You're committed. I'm not saying that there's others that are uncommitted. I'm just saying that we need to check ourselves all the time, because we can be committed now and be uncommitted a week from now. It's a daily thing, our commitment to God. That's a being a follower of God, being surrendered to God, being committed to God, and being devoted to God. And that means to be set apart and to be dedicated to whatever God wants us to do. I'll show you an example. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. This is a person that was committed to God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, and look at verse number 15. Paul is closing here his letter, his first letter to the church in Corinth. And one of the last verses, he says this in verse number 15. "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia." And notice this, "and that they have," what? "Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." You know what that is? That's devotion. Well, many of us are addicted to something, but it's not addicted to God. Oh, we get addicted to movies, and we get addicted to, I mean, you name it. There's all kinds of things that we are addicted to, whether you know it or not. And we know we're addicted to something when I gotta have it. And if you don't go without it, it's just like, oh man, what am I going to do? And that could be anything. That could be, you name it. I'm not going to start naming them, because then we're going to say, well, you know, you didn't call my addiction. No, it could be any addiction. We can be addicted to food and to sweets. You see, I just called out myself, you see. Okay? But not these people. These people were, as it says there in Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 1, they were followers of God. Well, guess what? They were devoted, because they were addicted to the ministry. No matter what it was, no matter what was needed, they were there. Oh, that we were that kind of person. Lord, help us. I want to be like that. Do you? Okay. All right, so that's the first thing. The believer is to follow God by being a follower of God. And we saw the difference. Well, anybody can be saved, but not be following God. It takes being fully surrendered, being committed, and being devoted to follow God. The second thing is this. Notice there in verse number 2, "and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor." Notice there, he gave himself for who? For us. For you and me. Christ died on the cross for you and for me specifically. What does that mean? That means that he died in our place. He died in our stead as our substitute. You see, we were the ones that should have been nailed to that cross. But Christ took upon himself the sins of the whole world. Any kind of sin was put on him while he was there on the cross. And he died for you and for me. Well, you think there's a greater love than this? That the Savior would die for the sins of the entire world? Even for those that have rejected Him? He died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for those that are rejecting Him. He died for those that don't want anything to do with Him. He died for us, and we don't live lives that are completely holy and devoted to Him, and yet He knows that, and He died for us. Well, the believer is to follow God by loving as Christ loved. You see, that's the ultimate love, that Christ died for all of us. We ought to love others the same way. Well, sometimes we don't love other people because they don't love us. Now with Christ, Christ loved even those that didn't love Him. Oh, I'll love somebody if they like me back. That's how we think, and that's what we want, but not Christ. Even those that reject Him, He still loves them. Oh, I'll love somebody if they do something for me. Not Christ. There's no restriction. There is nothing that you can do so that He can love you in return. He already does it without any of that. And that's the example. And if we're going to be followers of God, as the Bible says here, then we need to love like He loves, or how He has loved us. The Bible says this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He's talking about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ calling us friends, and He says there is no greater love than that. Well, if that's the example, and we're following God, then we ought to love like He loved. In 1 John, you don't have to turn there, chapter number 4 and verse number 20, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" That's a good thing to keep in mind. Well, we say we love other people, but when we have bad intentions, you see, this word of God pierces and exposes everything and exposes our thoughts. You know what? You know, I thought I loved this person, but maybe I don't love them, or the reason why I love them is because they do stuff for me. But that's not the way I ought to love them. Not if you're following God and Christ. So the believer is to walk in love just as Christ has loved us and has given Himself for us. And notice, he's given Himself for us as a sacrifice. It pleased God. Just like in the Old Testament, when they would give a sacrifice, Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. And He did that for us. All right, then the next thing is this. The believer is to follow God, not only by being a follower of God and by loving as Christ loved, but also this. Look at verse number 3. By being clean bodied. Notice, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. All right, so this has to do with a person being morally pure by keeping our body clean. You see, and notice what he says right there, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You know what happens when you start talking about those things? It leads to an action, potentially. And Paul said, don't even talk about those things. And to follow God is to have our bodies be clean. Well, how do we do that? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The first thing that we saw there is we have to be free from fornication. Now, you know what that is. That is having a physical relationship, man and a woman, physical relationship before marriage or outside of marriage. Notice what the Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I want you to look at here in verse number 3. We'll just get right to the point. For this is the will of God. All right, if we don't know the will of God, this is go find a concordance and find what the will of God is for the believer. And then we'll know what the will of God. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Notice this, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, how? In sanctification and honor. This is the will of God. The will of God is that you and I know how to possess our vessel. This is a vessel right here, our body. Our body is a vessel. And we want it to be clean so that it's ready to be used by the master. But if there is fornication, it needs to come out. Or therefore, this vessel won't be clean. And so this has to do with a moral purity. We have to resist all the passions of lust, like it says here, anything that's material, anything that's exposure, anything that's looking, anything that's touching, all of it. I knew a couple years ago, 7, 8 years ago, and they were Bible-believing Baptist Christian couple. They met in Bible college, and they came from up north, and they came all the way over here because he found a job, and after a while, he was working all the time. Okay, didn't come to church on Sundays, didn't come to church on some Wednesdays. Then after a while, well, he started going to the gym, and it wasn't just to exercise, to be physically healthy, but it was to be physically fit and to look a certain way. And he began to be very looking upon himself very much like that. Make a long story short, husband and wife had 3 young kids like ours. He left his wife for a younger woman. So are we exempt from that? No, we're not exempt from that. It can happen to anybody. That's why Paul says here that you and I should know how to possess our own vessel, because it starts with something small, but it grows. If it's unchecked, it grows until it becomes something that nobody expected, like that. And so we need to stop it as soon as it begins. Not only that, go back to verse number 3. It says, by being clean body, and that means to be free from fornication. But also notice this, free from uncleanness. Well, what does this mean? This means free from any foulness, from any dirtiness, from any filthiness. You can see an example here, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And we got to watch what we say with our mouths. Oftentimes, if you hang around with people that are lost, you're going to start to talk like people that are lost, like people that are in the world. And we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And so we need to watch ourselves. We need to watch what we say. You know, watch what we see, we need to watch what we hear, all of those things. But in this case, he's talking about uncleanness, and so this is what this is. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, look at verse number 7. For God hath not called us unto what? Unto uncleanness, but unto what?
Holiness.
But unto holiness. You see, that's what God wants. In case there's any question, I mean, of course we know that God is holy, and he there's nothing unrighteous in him, but he also doesn't want a connection with somebody that's unrighteous. In other words, the way that we have fellowship with him is when we clean ourselves from it. We confess our sins, We clean it, get it out of our lives, and we restore our fellowship with Him. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us speaking things that are not appropriate. I'm not going to elaborate, but you know. The Bible talks about some of you, some were, and such were some of you. And if you got saved later in life, you know, maybe you talked like that, but not anymore. We don't talk like that as Christians. And we need to watch because sometimes some of those things slip out. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so really, it's a problem of the heart. We need to clean this so that what comes out is good and not bad. And then the next thing regarding this third point about having our bodies clean is this. We see it there in the passage. We have to be free from covetousness. Well, what does that mean, to be free from covetousness? That means to be, this is a person who covets, who sees something else and he wants it. And sometimes they call it keeping up with the
Joneses.
With the Joneses. And you see the new car and now we want the new car. And you see the house and you want a house. And you see the new electronic gadget and you want it. And you covet it. Like, I want that. That's what I want. It's to be dissatisfied with what we have. Sometimes it's motivated by greediness or a desire to have something that's not ours or that is forbidden. And Paul said we have to be free from that. This is something that is, it's a love that's in us to pursue money instead of being content with what we have. And that's what the Bible says, to be content with such things as ye have. But sometimes we want to make more and more and more so that we can buy more and we can have new things all the time. And really, it can be a problem of coveting things. Some things you need and you got to buy them and you got to have them. But other things, we just want them because so-and-so has one and I want one too. You understand? Sometimes it's to make possessions, and the problem is that that becomes the goal and the focus of life instead of God Himself. And now we are motivated by how much we can make instead of what God wants for our lives. Sometimes it's to live for life, for self, instead of God. I just want to please my flesh, and I want to get what I want instead of what God wants. And really, the Bible calls covetousness, the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. So at the root of everything, that is the sin. When we covet something else, the Bible calls it idolatry. And in Colossians 3:5, it says mortify it. In other words, put it, count it dead. Put it, lay it down. Don't pursue that. And again, kind of like the other things, these are things that if left unchecked, they come up very, very small. By the time you know it, they've blown up if we leave them unchecked. But if we check ourselves, Lord, is this what you want? Is this what you not want? Is this what I need or is this something I'm coveting? And then we just kind of put that down and then it comes up again, put that down. And see, it's a constant thing. You don't necessarily master this. We just keep putting it down when it arises. Okay? All right. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter number 5. And now let's look at verse number 4. This is the next thing here. Not only in verse number 3 that we need to keep our bodies clean if we're going to be a follower of God, but in verse number 4, we need to keep our mouths clean. Look at verse number 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Again, I didn't want to elaborate on the last point regarding uncleanness, because uncleanness has to do more than just the mouth. It has to do with the things that we think and the things that we actually do and the things that we say and the things that we hear and the things that come in, all of that. But this has to do specifically with the things that come out of our mouths. Well, again, like I said, there are some things that are in the heart that we've allowed to come in, and they're just going to come out. You can't help it. We can try to hide it, we can try to mask it, and we can try to, but it's going to come out. But notice what Paul says here regarding these things. Don't do it. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. But what is this? What is this? This is some words that come out that are filthy, they're polluted, and this has to do with the speech and the conduct. Not only is it things that we say, but things that start going in that direction. These are some things that are immoral, that are indecent. Sometimes those are conversations, sometimes those are jokes, sometimes those are just a simple gesture, like it says there, no jesting. All these things ought to be the furthest away from the believer, from our conversation. This should not be the mouth of a believer that's following God. That's the point. We may be around it, but we shouldn't partake in it. And, well, I can give you many stories of the people that I work with, but you work with them too. And you're around them too, and you're next to them too, and you have a choice whether you're going to stay, as they say, in the cooler, or what do they call it, in the coffee break room, or whatever you have where everybody associates, right? That's where everybody goes, and they gossip, and they talk about so-and-so, and they say things that are jokes and all kinds of things. There's usually a place, but here's the question. Are we partaking, or are we looking at that and saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to walk away. I'm not going to be a part of what's happening. All right, this foolish talking is this. This is really a talk that's empty, that is unthoughtful, and that is senseless. Really, these are just wasted, idle words. And there are some people that you talk to, and they just talk and talk and talk and talk. And the Bible says that you and I are going to give an account for every word that we speak. Well, I believe that. Do you? Yeah. And if we're going to give an account for every word, then we ought to watch what we say. A lot of the things lead to absolutely nothing, and it's a waste of time, and it's a waste of, really, it just confuses people, and whatever. It doesn't edify or build up the believer. Instead, it does the opposite. And so we need to watch what we say. And this jesting is joking or anything that's suggestive or off color. The Bible says this, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his life that they speak no guile. See, that's what God wants. You can find that in 1 Peter 3:10. We need to refrain our tongue from going in this direction. This is something that you're used to. It's something that is going to take time, and you need to pray and ask God to change our mouths. Okay? So what's the solution? Notice there in verse number 4, the solution, but rather what? The end of the verse, giving of thanks. You see, when you're thankful to God about everything, even when some of these things come up, guess what? It changes our attitude, and it changes our vocabulary. Instead of saying something bad about somebody, instead we want to thank God for those things that we have. Okay? And then the next thing is this. Look there in verse number 5 and 6. If we're going to be following God as believers, we need to be a follower of God. We need to love as Christ loved. We need to have our bodies clean. We need to have our mouths clean. And then this, we need to know God's warning. Look at verse number 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any, what? Inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. All right, well, what does this mean? If you're a believer, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, again, by faith, you cannot lose your salvation. Now, there's some people that might say, well, you can lose it, but then you have to get it back, and you lose it again, and you pray, and you get it back, and you lose. Once saved, always saved. Nobody can take that away from you. You can't get out of it. Nobody can get you out of it. God himself, you can't get out from. Listen, when you're saved, you are in Christ. Even now, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, you can't get out of that. Even if you wanted to, you can't lose your salvation. However, there is a warning here. And here's the warning. Notice verse number 5. This you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your inheritance. Well, do you want to lose the inheritance that God has for you? I don't. So here's the warning. Number one, the warning is this. Look at verse number 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. There's going to be some people that are going to come to you, like it says there in verse number 6, and they're going to deceive you with vain words, and this is what they're going to say. Here's the warning. They're going to say, now that you're saved, you can do whatever you want. Because since you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. Therefore, live the way you want to live. Do what you want to do. Live it up. Party it up. It's all okay. Listen, you can do that if you wanted to. And you'll have your reward here on this earth. However, you will lose your inheritance in heaven. Because it's not all about what's in this world. It's really what's in the next one to come. That's what you and I should be focused on. So the warning is for the believer, watch out for those people that are going to come and try to deceive you. And they're all over the place. And they want you, listen, a person that's already in sin, they want to bring other people to their level, and they're going to want to bring you to their level so that they can do what they want to do, and then they get you doing what they want to do, and they justify what they're doing, and then you're in it also. Don't be deceived. That's the warning. And the second warning is there also, and it's this, that a person that practices these things has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I want to show you an example here. First Corinthians chapter number 6, and look at verse number 9. First Corinthians chapter number 6, and look at verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not, what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Again, it's not talking about salvation. It's talking about an inheritance. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice this. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Listen, don't lose your inheritance by doing things that please the flesh here on this earth. Resist those things, and you'll have inheritance in heaven. That's the point. All right, let's go back to back to Ephesians. Let's look at the last thing here. The last thing regarding our walk as a believer, we should have a walk as a believer that follows God. And the last thing is found there in verse number 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We saw a list of things that Paul said, don't do these things. Don't talk like this. Don't see this. Don't, none of those things. And then in verse number 7, he ends it, and don't even be a part of those that are doing these things. You see, what happens when you become a part of a person that's doing these things? Well, I said it earlier, you're going to be tempted to leave what you already have to do those things also. And listen, the Bible says that the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's waiting. He's waiting for you to just open a little crack, a little door, and he takes it, and from there he grabs you. And you think he's playing like a little cat plays with a mouse? Oh, no, no, no. If you've ever seen a lion, a roaring lion, I mean, even one what am I saying? One swipe. It doesn't take much to devour another animal or even a person. And that's what he's doing. And that's why the Bible says here we have to separate ourselves, listen, from the unclean. That's what God wants us to do. Not only should we not partake in any of these sins that are mentioned here, but we have to separate ourselves from those sins. You see, oftentimes we say, well, it's going to be okay. I can go somewhere and nothing's going to happen. God is greater that is in me. No. Listen, there's so much lust that's in us that we think that we have it when really we don't really have it. And not only that, the devil wants us to get into it, and other people want us to get into it. So we got everything going against us, our flesh, other people, the devil, anything that God can use. So separate yourselves from the unclean. I'll show you two verses and we'll be done. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And look at verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 14. We need to separate ourselves from the unclean, and unclean people, as you're going to see here, are unbelievers. Why? Because they're still a child of the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, and look at verse number 14. Be not unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. Why? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with what? Darkness. With darkness. These two are two completely polar opposite things. And that's why it's unclean. We need to stay away from that. Look at verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 17. Here's the solution. Wherefore, what are the next two words? Come out from among them, and what? And be ye separate, saith who? Not your friend. Not a counselor, not somebody that's trying to help you. No, the Lord says to do this. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. All right, so we want to end this, obviously, with an exhortation from God that in order for us to not partake in these things, we have to draw a line and separate ourselves from the unclean. Okay? God wants to help us, and God is for us, but not when we cross the line and we partake in those things. So it's up to us to not do that, to not go down that road. And that's how you and I, as a believer, follow God. So in conclusion, I'll say this. A true believer will follow God by being committed, by being surrendered and devoted to Him. A believer will also love as Christ loved. See, the ultimate love was Him dying on the cross. We can love others like He loves us. And also, if we're going to follow Him, we got to keep a body that's clean. It gets unclean because of the filthiness of this world. And we can't allow it to do that. And also, we got to keep our mouths clean. There are some things that come out of it that don't please God. Not only do they not please God, but it gives the believer a bad testimony. Do you really want to be known as the person that's foul-mouthed or that's talking like that, giving a bad reputation to Christianity and to God Himself? Not me. So we got to keep our bodies clean and our mouth clean, and then we got to know God's warning. As we saw there's a warning from God. There's some people that are going to try to tell you things that are opposite from the Word of God. You know the truth, and you know where to find the truth. Open the Word of God and check it. Not only that, but we got to separate ourselves from the unclean. God, listen, here's the thing. Sometimes in one of these messages, we think, oh man, they're just hitting us. It's just gut punching us. And it feels like this was for me. And like, man, listen, don't take it as that. Listen, you know how we should take it? God loves us enough to send a preacher to say, this is a good reminder. You know what? Thanks for the reminder. I won't do that. I'll stay away from those. You told me to stay away from them. I'll do it. Help me, and I'll do it. Okay? We all need God's help. So let's ask Him for it right now.